You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
I'm here. That's right. And while we wait for Lewis to come and talk about EB-5, Wanda, is Lewis here? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I saw someone come in the door, but I can't do everything at the same time. There he is. Lewis, is that you? Lewis is here.
Then all tell right. him to come on in.
Go on in that door right there. Here you go. Lewis is here. We're doing this live, Lewis, so welcome to the show.
All right. Well, here Lewis tries to sit down and get his headset on. We're going to talk a little bit about EB-5 financing. EB-5 financing is a government program that helps people come and build our economy and achieve citizenship for that. And Lewis, welcome to the show.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Now, tell me a little bit more about EB-5. What would you say is the definition of EB-5?
EB-5 is a visa program that's sponsored by the United States government that, in essence, is a investment by a foreign investor who then is able to qualify for a green card based upon their investment. So it works very well for the investor. And obviously, it's a way to bring foreign investment into the country.
Well, but Lewis, there's been less and less welcoming here in the United States for folks that are of, we'll say, foreign origin. So is there like a drumbeat against this program? It seems to me like it's been real effective.
Right. Well, politics, obviously, as you know, could be a lot of different things and completely unpredictable. But the program is still very popular. The question is, who gets the money? So, of course, everybody wants the money in their district. And when the press comes out that money is going to an urban area, the politicians from more rural areas, of course, are very upset by that. They would like the money in their districts. So it's more a question of who ultimately gets the investment, not necessarily the problem over the quality of the investment itself.
Okay, so then, you know, we've got a bunch of these EB-5 deals. Let me ask you that. So let's say somebody says, I want to do my deal. I want to do a real estate deal. I want to do it with an EB-5 financing component. What does that mean and what does that take?
Sure. Boil down to its essence, EB-5 is mezzanine debt.
Okay.
It can be an investment, but for real estate projects, it does tend to be an investment as a loan into the actual project. So the investors will subscribe and do an investment like any other, but their money is actually a loan into the project itself. And that component is very valuable now because before the downturn, if I was building a real estate project, I could probably do that on about 95% loan and maybe 5% equity. After the downturn, that entire structure changed. So if I'm stacking capital for a project, I need to make sure that now I have more equity because lenders won't put in as much money as they did before. So you have a gap, and EB-5 works very well to fill that gap when you're trying to finance a project.
So then the process is that you create an offering memorandum, you get that approved by the government?
Right. So the investment is a separate component from the actual investment or application that the investor will go through to get their EB-5 visa. The government's not as concerned about the quality or the specifics of the investment. They're more concerned that the investment itself will generate the jobs necessary to qualify the applicant for their visa. So they're looking at different things rather than the specifics of the investment.
Okay, so then it's kind of a two-pronged thing for the overseas person. They're looking to come enter the United States as a business person, as an investor. For the developer, it's a way to help enhance their equity investing in the deal.
Correct. So everybody benefits, and there is a little bit of a lag time currently, particularly if you're a Chinese investor. The delay for approval, because there's only a certain amount of visas. It's called a quota. There's only a certain amount of visas given to every country. So since Chinese investors tend to like this program, there is a wait period. And the typical Chinese investor today will invest for their children. So they will look, say, 4 to 10 years in the future. start the application process, do the investment with the idea that when it qualifies, they will then have this program available for their children to come to the United States to be a student, or to go from being a student to being in the process of getting a green card. So it's very valuable for those purposes.
Well, I would think it'd be real hot for the student housing market then, my gosh. So let me ask you this. So, you know, there's China. You know, there's a little bit of a political focus on China right now. But we're close to another potential source. I know some guys in town have been doing these with Latin American investors. Are you hearing that there's a little bit more momentum going south?
Yes, because of the delays and issues with so many people from China looking for this program. The movement for EB-5 investment has definitely shifted to Latin America. It's also been focused on India, Singapore, and Vietnam, as opposed to strictly Chinese investors.
Now, I remember a few years ago, there was like a whole business. They'd take you, they'd take some money, they'd take you to China, they'd go meet some other people that I got to just call them this money brokers from China. They'd bring them back and blah, blah, blah. They'd aggregate them up and they go. So is there people that specialize in different countries?
Yes, there's various individuals that are focused on different countries versus others like any other business. And EB-5 is no different. So if someone were to be interested in the program, there are individuals that they can speak to from all angles, either for the visa application itself, for raising the capital and structuring the capital, or actually being a broker and trying to help find individuals that are interested in the program within the various countries that can apply.
Now, I know your firm has really been involved this from the very, very start. Your partners had come and presented this stuff to me, my gosh, 5, 6, 7 years ago. What are some examples of a couple of projects that have been structured in this manner that you guys have been a part of? And if you could say it publicly, some of the strengths and weaknesses of the process that you learned about while you were perfecting it in these projects?
Sure. Well, for a lot of the projects, they are located in the state of Florida, but also throughout the country. I can't necessarily go into a lot of the specifics of the individual projects, but they range from hotels to an auto complex in Alabama, an equestrian center in North Carolina, hotels, regional economic revitalization districts in the state of California. So there's a wide range of different projects that an investor can potentially invest in. And it really depends on the investor and what they like. Okay. And the investor can choose from a lot of different projects depending on their interest.
So this is really about creating jobs in America using foreign seed capital. So what are the preferred property types when the government people are analyzing the applications?
Right. So rather than type, they're very interested in the location of the investment. Again, if I'm a congressman from Iowa, I would love to have that money invested within a rural area of Iowa that is in need of foreign capital investment. Obviously, if I'm from New York, I'd love to have that money come to a New York hotel. So it really depends on more the area than necessarily the asset class of the particular investment. So in Congress right now, that's the crux. Where is this money going?
Is it possible to kind of track where it's gone? Is there like heavier investment? Because look, a lot of this I think would be New York, California, maybe a little bit less in Chicago. Maybe Dallas, Fort Worth, maybe a little bit in Atlanta, but I would think maybe where you can get a direct flight or get one flight for a Chinese person so they can come see it, or do they care?
Right. That's correct. Again, you can't force an investor to go to any particular area or any particular project. And if you're talking to people from around the world, generally when they think of the United States, they think of the major cities. They think of New York City. They think of LA. They think of things that they see in television, not necessarily a revitalization of a urban or rural district in Iowa, which is unfortunate because, again, that may be a very good investment.
Probably
a very
is.
Good opportunity.
Probably is.
But, you know, every investor is a little different in how they see the world in the United States.
So then what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a short break. Can you stay for another segment?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, because we got started really kind of quick, and I'd like to take a step back, talk about your credentials, some of your background here, the team that you work with at the firm, and how you can really help people get these across the finish line.
All right, that sounds great.
All right, well, Wanda, let's go. We've got some great stuff we're going to talk to Lewis about after the break, so hurry through it, and then let's come back. I think Lewis has got us onto something here where we can use this stuff to make some money. All right, Lewis.
Now.